Let's do this. Welcome to an episode of the Programmatic Digest podcast. We have two lovely guests today. One was uninvited, but he's welcome. And he's going to go to sleep soon. And then the second one is Manal Saho. How are you doing, Manal?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Helen, for inviting me over. Thrilled.
We've been trying to get us together.
Oh.
And the reason why I want to let our audience and listeners know is because you are currently in Dubai and I'm in the US on the East Coast. And the devil tried to win, but we didn't let him win. And now we're here. You
We
know?
made it.
So
We made it.
anybody out there, yeah, anybody out there that's thinking that you cannot work with a different time zone just because it's inconvenient, like don't let it win, because there's a lot of amazing expertise out in this globe outside of our US territory, or the Northern America at least. And so Manal is here to remind us of that. She is going to talk about Presciso and how she landed in the field, because I don't know if you woke up when you were 12 and say, hey, you know what, I'm gonna work in programmatic advertising. So I'd love to hear that story. But before we get into today's conversation, special shout out to our sponsor, jobsinattech.com. Jobsinattech.com. Check it out if you are a talent, so looking for a job, or if you are a recruiter or a company or hiring management team that is looking for amazing expertise, okay? Jobsinattech.com. So now back to Manal. And also, if you see me walking around, it's because of this guy is probably trying to go to sleep. This is how we do it in Senegal and West Africa. Right before we started recording, Manal was sharing that she was from Lebanon, and half of my family is Lebanese. So I know this conversation is going to be just dope, just dope. So Manal, how about you just let the people know how great you are, how who you are, how what you do at Cotizo, and we can start from there.
Perfect. First of all, I'd like to thank you. Thank you so much for, the ego boost. I love it, women in power and women for women. Perfect. Fantastic. So I've had a bit of a background with business administration, business communication, and then I did a bit of engagement programs on the loyalty front end. And along the road, there was a bit of marketing within the affiliate and how to get affiliate
Your
programs.
affiliate marketing,
Yeah, exactly. And then I moved to Italy, my second home currently. And that's where I came across Precciso, and we decided that there was mutual interest. I was interested in the field. They were looking for somebody with my background since I came from the Middle East, and I had a bit of experience here and there with different fields. And we decided, to hit it off, and I'm currently handling their, let's say, global sales team. And I'd like to shift a little bit the focus over to beside me, over to Preciso, as in the term
Tell us about it.
who is Preciso?
Yeah.
Oh,
So tell me about Precciso. So you are a DSP. Where are you servicing? What is like your particular specialty? Because here in the US and NA, Northern America, trade desk is monopolized, right? But there are also a lot more DSPs out there, and for many reasons, but would love to hear about what's happening outside of our circle. So tell us about Precciso.
So where did Precciso start? Precciso started like almost 17 years ago. It was a completely different company. They were on a different track, and then they decided, the people who were running in the management, they decided to go their own road, and to take on an algorithm and start investing into that and taking it to next level. Obviously at the beginning it was all about retargeting, and now it's familiar with the term engagement. And then they started building in, machine learning, and the idea was, since the algorithm was proprietary, to take it to next level, to just keep on enhancing it. What we do currently, what Precciso does now, is something fantastic. It's a platform that any client, any business owner can just plug in via Shopify, or you can just decide to run your own campaign via your IT team or marketing team. We have a team, our own team on standby that can assist clients. Or it can also work for marketing agencies that have multiple clients, multiple campaigns to run. So we provide them with the access to the platform, and then it's just a plug and play. Honestly, I mean, Precizo, if you tell me, summarize Precizo, what is Precizo all about? Budget saving. It is exactly that. It's where you can put your money, get your ROI, ROAS, and with a full control on what you're putting in.
Got it. Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, precise, what does that mean in English? Is it precise?
Precise.
Precision?
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I figured. I was okay. So precision. What a better, very, very great name for our industry.
Yeah, exactly. It is because that's exactly what the algorithm does, what the platform does. It's going after the right ad placement for the right audience at the right time.
And so I love that because you just made me think about this question, because I've heard a lot of my UK friends, French friends saying that, oh, well, the European market is a seller's market. It's a publisher's market. The American market is a buyer market, okay? The buyer, the advertiser, the brands have a lot of influence about how that needle is going to be moved from a programmatic ecosystem, from the landscape perspective. And for my listeners that are on junior level, what I mean by that is that a lot of the advertisers that spend money, because they're spending that money, have certain control over how this inventory is being supplied.
Absolutely.
The inventory, which is just the ad inventory. Think about the banners that show up on a newsletter on a website. Okay, just to simplify things. So do you think is that a true statement that the European market is more on the sell side, meaning that the sell side can have more control about how the supply is being sold, how brands can activate on that supply?
I think going in a general approach, there's always an influence that the advertisers can drive the market of publishers. That's for sure. That's let's take, for example, Amazon. You know, Amazon having their campaign coming up, everybody's like, "Woo, it's Amazon!" You know, and then everybody's going into panic mode because, you know, Amazon took a big share of the market.
Yeah.
So yes, of course, advertisers do influence where the publishers market is heading, but I would say it's a little bit there's much more to it than that. It always depends on what the advertiser are looking for, what is out there on the market in terms of publishers. Do they come together? Can the publishers really feed the needs of the advertisers? So in a way, yes, it does influence, but on the other side, it's like they really have to come together.
Yeah, and here too, I would say, and the reason why I'm asking questions is because, again, I want the listeners, people that are in leadership position or decision making position, which about maybe 30 to 40% of the listeners are, expand, right? This whole cookie deprecation thing came about what, four years ago? I don't know at this point, 2020. And the same thing as the same, it, you know what's funny? It started at the same time as COVID. I don't know. Something, you know, I don't
Something's
know.
Something's going on, yeah? There's a connection
yeah,
there.
Google something. You know, Google started something. And so a lot
but
of conversation. What? Go ahead.
I was saying, funny enough, you know, it started 4 years ago and we're not able to let go of it. There's always this
like
extension.
For real.
Okay, we're not going to do it now. We're going to do it a little bit. We're going to do it a little bit longer. There's because, you know, I mean, the influence of the cookie is crucial to the data, you know, the accuracy of what you can get, especially if you're talking retargeting. I mean, that's the core of what retargeting is about. We're going to move with disappearance of the cookie. It's going to be, you know, contextual, AI. How accurate is that going to be? We're going to be depending on first party cookies. We're going to be depending on server data. So I think
you started, answering the question I was going to say. So how is Precizo positioning themselves, and how are they helping their brands and advertisers and partners get ready and stay educated? If you want to elaborate a little bit more on that, because I think it's important.
Yeah, from one part, I mean, I would say there's a bit of a safety net, because you see some of the websites still, if you click and it says we have cookies, and you say reject, you're not going to get the full, full fledge of the platform. It's going to block you in some places because you have rejected to accept the cookies. So in a way, and if the users are, let's say the straightforward retailers, online stores, I mean, users have a little bit of apprehension on accepting the cookies. So you just go with the flow because you're interested at the end result. You just want to do your
That's
shopping and
true.
move out of there. And
That's
that
true.
makes life easier for the website because, you want to learn the trends, you want to learn what's going on, what's working for the users, what are their rhythms into and routines into their buying power. With the first party cookies, we're still safe because those are there and they will always be there. I'm the owner of the website. I have the right to put on my cookies in there. I'm collecting the data
Yeah,
to,
okay.
I'm safe and sound there. I have no issues whatsoever. What are we doing? We're working with that. We're working with the first party cookies because that is going into the server. And from there on, we're working with the clients on accessing the data from there and creating our retargeting. We're working also on, of course, contextual. However, we do inform the clients. I mean, that is not 100% science. So there's still a learning curve over there. We have to add a lot of keywords to make sure that we cover anything and everything that might pop up on the radar while you're doing your campaign. So we are prepared technologically.
Wow, and I actually have another question too that led into this one is that we've had a lot of like I think on and off over the last few years as an industry, we've had a lot of brand safety, premium inventory in questions. What does that mean? What does that look like? How to define the differences? And the Trade Desk, again, I'm referring to the Trade Desk because they're a big proponent of the open internet, the open web. And so, but when I talk to, and I believe in the open internet, I believe that it can't still, it will survive, but things will be shifted. So when I talk to traders, and I'll use this 1 minute to, to let everyone know that's listening, what we do is that we work with ad agencies and agency trading desk and, brands in-house team. But the programmatic trading team, the ad ops team, making the campaign decision, looking at performance, doing reporting. So we work with them from like a longer standpoint. They hire us to come up with like a training roadmap based on their clients and it's very hands-on keyboard support type of training. So like we'll go through something like a lesson that needs clarification, and then we'll talk about and then we'll implement into their clients. So it's very, very customized. And so a lot of the questions that I get, which is why I'm going to ask you the question so I can go ahead and tell them, is, what is the good percentage of spend that we need between an a open internet or open web and a private marketplace deal or private marketplace and a direct deal? Like I always answer based on the objectives, the campaign, and then we look per because it's not standardized yet. But from a Patiso standpoint, from your point of view, how do you advise your client or recommend your clients that you need to spend a little bit on the open internet? Or is it all private deals? Is it all premium? Is it all direct deals? Just like, because I heard you say plug and play.
Yeah.
So what is your point of view on this?
Okay, so it depends on what the client is looking for always. What kind of campaign does
Absolutely.
he want to run? And of course, what kind of goal is he looking at achieving? Because sometimes you can run a campaign that's based only on brand awareness. That's a complete
Okay.
different approach.
That's true.
And then there's another factor that we take into consideration, which is the geos. Where is he running the campaign? When you're talking to Chizo, the part that I look after, it's the real-time bidding, the RTB programmatic. So we're talking about real-time bidding happening with Brichizo buying the media. So we go after the right traffic for the right ad placement at the right time. So there's a lot of factors that could affect, a lot of data points plugged into the algorithm to try and connect, the three components to get to the client what he's looking for. So there's a big factor where it depends on the media cost. So what is a good campaign? I can say, okay, you can spend as low as $50 a day, but depending on how far do you want to go, you can go up to $3,000 a month building up the platform campaign. You optimize it, you see how it's going. There's another factor that a lot of the clients do not think about. Sometimes your exit pages are high, sometimes your bounce rate is high because the customer journey isn't helping. the products that we're trying to bring out through the campaign aren't your high end or aren't your, you know, top line sellers. So there are a lot of factors that we take into consideration. But when we're talking about a reasonable campaign, just to start off with, and we're talking about a medium line business, nothing, you know, nothing with a big budget. We're not talking about media agencies. I would say around $3,000 a month is a fair number to start with.
And you know, I like what you just said about, okay, you know, advertising in general is supposed to complement whatever marketing you have going on. And even down to, as you mentioned, down to the bounce rate. It's like, if you have a higher bounce rate with, you know, organic traffic, which is a traffic that just comes organically without any paid influence, I don't know how much paid influence can is that going to change. It can help in some extent, but it's really, I think, Manal, what you're saying is that it's really important that you look at the full picture.
And absolutely. Like,
and honestly, you said 3,000, but it also, it really depends. It could be 3,000, it could be more, it could be less. But again, you have to have all of those T's crossed,
Absolutely.
Crossed, whatever.
Absolutely. And, T's crossed and I's dots, whatever.
Yeah. And I think the last question before we go into our closing segments is this, can you give us three, maybe, recommendation for any buyers, brands who are looking to partner with like a DSP or any other partnership, right? Maybe looking to partner with Proteso and why they should partner, but like when they want to assess if this DSP or this technology is the right decision or to make, what are those three things? What can you tell us? Or four or five, whichever.
I would say, first of all, they should have they should work with a DSP where they have full transparency, that they can see how is the campaign moving.
Okay. I was going to ask, what do you call transparency for my people out there?
Yeah. So it's important that the client knows how is the budget moving. It's important to know how is the campaign performing. So without transparency, you know, the client is sitting in the dark and they're just feeding him reports and you're telling him this is what happened and this is what happened. But it's important that they have firsthand data. You know, they have the access, they can go in, they can optimize. If he has the team, that he has that kind of transparency. It's super important. The second thing I would say, if they are about to start with the DSP for a campaign, it's super important that they have their Google Analytics in place, because that can give a super boost to the campaign and can save a lot of money, because you come prepared. You know what your website is doing, you know where you're, you know, if there are issues, you already have them predefined in your Google Analytics. So you know what to look for before you're on a campaign. And the third thing is, I would say, whenever you're planning a campaign, sit down with the team, talk to them, go through your requirements, go through your goals, define exactly what you're looking for, because it's super easy to get frustrated down the line. Marketing is a science that is still, I mean, despite all the tools we have at hand, in some areas, it's still unpredictable. And it's super important that the expectations of a client are put into focus before you're on a campaign. Yeah. So you can avoid a lot of frustrations down the line by being transparent, looking into where you're coming from with your website, and knowing where you're heading to.
I love that, because let me tell you why. Because as programmatic people, we don't always see GA4, Google Analytics, as a source of truth. But the reality is that all of our clients do, okay? Either you embrace or you combat. And the more you combat, the further the clients. And so I love this advice. So the first thing was transparency. How clear and how easy, when you hear transparency, y'all need to remember this. It's like, how easy is it for me to access this data point? If it's complicated in the way that I have to request it, or I can't easily plug and play and see, pivot it, then it might not be as transparent. So the easier the access, the more transparent, period, if I have to simplify it. The second thing is Google Analytics. Y'all, I love what Manal said, because you got to embrace it. You got to embrace GA4. The reality is that GA4 or Google Analytics 4, whichever it is, is like, brands still use it. And even though it's not the same tool and it doesn't measure success the same way we measure in the programmatic world, it's still important as, you know, your brand's partner, because your brand is a client, but also you're partnering with them for their success. It's really important that you are true partners and you educate them about the differences and you embrace Google Analytics. And so maybe it's extra for you, but like ultimately is like that extra step you need to take for a long-term relationship, okay? Because we learned in the last 2 years how brands have been fumbling in and out, right? Because Super Bowl is this weekend, so I'm going to use football terms. And I think the third one would be support and education, which again, I can help shameless plug, but
I would say managing expectations, you know,
managing expectation and oh my gosh, managing expectation is so good because you have to know, but also like, I think what I want to mention is like managing expectation with your clients, but also within the team, because sometimes sales will have an expectation that adapts will have expectation. Planning will have expectation. Client success team will have expectation.
Absolutely.
And fragmented.
Absolutely.
And we don't want that. So come, you know, have a come to Jesus moment, come together as a team to manage as a team these expectations. And I love to say that if you're not a trader and you're not a buyer and you're not the one setting up the campaign, spend some time with that person on their term, because 100%. Understand what it takes to manage. And some DSP does a good job and make it super user-friendly, including Pachiso, but some don't. Some don't.
Yeah,
it takes
know.
A long
I know.
Time, and it's so easy to make a mistake. So spending time as a non-trader or as a non-buyer, I guess, or add-ups with that team helps you set the right expectation. Because in a meeting with a client, where the client say, "Can we run by this date?" and you're like, "Oh, I don't know, but it should be possible," you should always check in with the team. But spending time and understanding what the team does can help you really set that expectation.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You know, it's you got to do that. You just got to do that. So, thank you for sharing this. This was really great. So, in our closing segment, I like to ask all of that. Oh, really quick, guys. If you're thinking right now, before we move on to closing six segments, if you're thinking I need Google Analytics help, reach out to my people. They're called ClickVoyant. ClickVoyant. It is female owned. Founded and led. My good friend Mia Manos is very active on LinkedIn, guys. I cannot stop recommending this company with GA4 and helping measurement and reporting, because like it's helped a lot of our partners, really demystifying what GA4 is and how to really, you know, merge the programmatic world. And they're amazing. Again, so ClickVoyant, you know what I'm going to add in our show notes and in the video description, including all the Pratizo and Manel's information as well. But now let's move into the closing segment, which is really just leave us with some wisdom, right? What is something you know now that you wish you knew when you just started? Maybe your freshman self, your junior self in the industry, you did this, but you should have done this type of deal, like so that the next person can learn from your wisdom and your experience.
Oh, wow. That's a big question. I don't know. I would say, you know what? We all say, I wish I knew then what I know now, right? It would have made the journey different. But it's a little bit of a universal answer that I have to that, Helen, and I do apologize for that. I think we're all at the place where we're supposed to be. So if I am in my place, it's because I had to take that journey. I had to learn the way I had to learn
I
it.
I love that.
And
love that.
It's taken me, I'm in the steps that I should have followed. That's all I can say. I fumbled, I've stumbled, I've tripped, but I've gotten up and I moved on.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have any, you know, like,
no,
I would say
you know
do
what?
This and do that. I'm a believer.
I needed
We're
to
all
hear.
In the right place where we should be.
Oh my gosh, I needed to hear that, because I think it's one of the best advice on the podcast is that embrace the journey and accept
Absolutely.
Where you are now.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like you just gave us permission to be who we are in this moment today, in this second
exactly.
where you're listening or watching.
Exactly.
And I feel like this should be normalized as women, as men, as anyone in the industry or outside of the industry. And so thank you. Thank you for the reminder to embrace the journey and
the
that
moment,
everything.
Yeah.
I what was the book I was reading? And we'll end with this. It was Elaine Welteroth. She is she's an author, and she wrote, she only has one book out there, Elaine. I can also add that in the show notes. But she, in her foreword, she was like, Oprah told Ava DuVernay this advice. She was like, life doesn't happen to me, it happens for me. Meaning that all
Yeah.
these lessons that we think is the only thing that's
Absolutely.
happening for us, it's like the worst thing ever. It's like just life teaching us a lesson to make us
Absolutely.
better, greater, and grow
Always.
maybe more efficiently. I don't know. And so I love that. So thank you. Thank you,
That's
Manal, for
amazing.
stopping
Thank you so
by.
much,
This was
Helen.
so great. It was so great. If
I
anybody needs
loved
to reach
it.
out to you or Patiso, how can
Please
they
do
do so?
share my coordinates, all my contact details. Thank you so much, Helen, for having me. Loved our little guest. So
He's out. He's
all the
out. I'm gonna go
best.
put him in the crib.
Oh, he's out, yeah. It was the
Thank
soothing
you,
voices. Come
Manal.
on. All right, Helen, you take good care. We'll talk soon. All the best.